It's going to be a good day. We're going to have a good time today. I'm actually going to preach on only two verses today. Can you believe that? Should I tell you this is going to be a short sermon or not? I'm going to make this as long as I can out of these two verses. Try to get everything that I possibly can get out of these two verses. Amen? Before we get into that, though, I did want to just make mention of, what's gone on this last week, the shooting in Uvalde, Texas, and just to have a moment just to pray for that community down there. If you could only imagine if that was us and that happened here, and how devastating and difficult that is. So let's just take a moment and let's pray, and while we're doing that, we can pray for our country, we can pray for our leaders as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can be here. We are just so grateful that you provide this place, this time, this family to be a part of. We ask you to work through this time. We want to pray for those who are hurting right now. We want to lift them up to you who have lost a loved one or are now in great fear or trauma because of this. We pray for them. We pray you would bring strength and comfort and healing that only your Holy Spirit can bring, Lord. We ask for that. We pray for our nation as a whole. We pray for our world too. Beyond that, we pray for the things that are at the root of these kind of situations. We ask you to defeat Satan and defeat what he has going. And we pray, Lord, that through your gospel and your goodness and the church and your love, Lord, that there would be great victory and great good that would come out of the most difficult situations. We thank you and we love you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Now, I sure would like to have the mind of God. Amen. To think the way God thinks, to see things the way God sees things. To have control of my emotions and myself the way that God would. Amen? And really, if I could just give you a little idea of what we're talking about here today in these two verses, God does that for us. He does that for us when we can't do it for ourselves, because we never could possibly do that for ourselves. But God does that for us. In fact, how many of us here struggle in our prayer lives? And some of you may say, no, I don't struggle in my prayer life. Well, maybe you don't. Or maybe you're just fooled. I don't know. But how many of us pray as we ought to pray? Pray for the things that we should pray for. Pray the way that we should pray. Have the kind of connection and intimate connection and relationship with the Lord that we ought to have. The truth is, in our place where we are between being justified and saved in that way, and where we're going to be glorified in Christ, we live in this middle ground. We struggle with that. We struggle because we still live in the flesh, and we still have the flesh that the Spirit is battling our flesh, and we still have all the same temptations and difficulties. You know, God's working through them, but they're still there, and we still struggle, and we still have a lot of weaknesses. But God is working through those, and He gives us the Spirit. And the Spirit is what makes it so that we can think like God thinks. We can pray like God wants us to pray. In fact, He gives us His very mind to live in us. Amen? Now, it is a little slow in here today. And like Crystal said, our drummer was gone. We are blessed with a couple drummers, and I think they bring some liveliness to this place. I'm convinced now that I notice when they're not here. Okay, I noticed now here it seems a little more lively. So you guys have to bring it up a little bit. Okay, come on now. Yeah. If you notice someone falling asleep beside you, give them a little elbow. You know? Okay, especially if it's your husband or your wife. But just do it gently if it's your wife. Okay. But I mean, this is important and good stuff for us to know that God does this for us, and this is explained. And there's a lot of detail in these verses. But let's go ahead and look at the two verses. And if you're new here, you're visiting, welcome. We're so glad you're here. We are going through the book of Romans. We're on chapter 8. Chapter 8 is one of the great chapters in Romans and in the whole Bible. Tells us so many important things that we stand on. And I told people, I'm slowing it way down here. I'm slowing it way down because each one of these things, there's so much to talk about in these verses. So I can only go like a couple verses at a time, two or three verses at a time right now where we are, because I don't want to speed through this. I want the impact to be as strong as possible. So we're on Romans 8:26. Paul writes, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." To the point, amen? Just a couple verses. Let's pray and then let's talk about those verses. Lord, thank you again for this morning. We want to ask you to teach us through your word today. We pray that through your Spirit you would show us what these verses mean and how our life can be different because of them, and just to see the work that you're doing in our lives. We pray that we would have a clear understanding and that we would be motivated to live differently because of this and to trust you and to follow you more closely. Thank you. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the beginning of this, the first sentence says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." So there's a couple things there. The first thing I think that I'd have to ask is what the likewise is there for. So what is he comparing this to? He's saying the Spirit helps us in our weakness. What was he talking about just before this? He was talking about how we live in this time between justification and glorification, where we still have this struggle and this weakness where we don't always do the things that we want to do, and sometimes we do the things that we don't want to do. Amen? How many of you does that hit home to? You don't always do the good things you want to do. You can't always achieve the good that you want to achieve, even that you know God wants you to do this, but you are not able to achieve it. And then you also know there are things that God wants you to avoid, but you're not able to completely avoid those things all the time. And sometimes you stumble into doing things that you know you don't want to do. There's a battle going on within you, and sometimes you lose the battle. Amen? And that's the reality of where we live. And the good news is that God sends his Spirit to live in us, to help us in this time of weakness that we have. That's the time of weakness that we're in. Okay, now it's pretty interesting and good and encouraging to think of this. Paul writes this. Paul, who's one of the most mature believers that we can think of, right? Used by God in incredible ways. And he was saying that he has that same issue of not doing what he wants to do and sometimes doing what he doesn't want to do. And here he says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. He includes himself in that, and I include myself in that, and I think you should include yourself in that you still have this kind of weakness. The human nature that you have, the sinful nature that you live in a sinful flesh. And you have to keep those things in perspective. As you live this life, you don't want to get to the point where you say, well, yeah, I'm past that. I can't be tempted by that. Yeah, I'm too mature for that. That's really not how any of us should think. We should understand that we have weakness still, but it's the Spirit living in us that helps us with any weakness that we have. Amen? Amen? I don't think anyone agree with that. No. I don't want to admit it. I don't want to say it, but it's really true. You know? So Paul includes himself. We include ourselves. And the Spirit helps us all as Christians, every single one of us. This isn't just something for the immature, and the really mature Christians don't have to worry about this. Everyone who's a Christian is in this boat. We all live in this weakness, in this state of weakness. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us with any and every weakness that we have. And there's a lot of different weaknesses. And if you can kind of think about what some of those other weaknesses might be, besides the main one that's talked about here. But some of those weaknesses might be fears and anxieties that we have, uncertainty, ways that we waver back and forth about things, They can be things of the, other things of the flesh, where we're tempted by things to be to get into things that we shouldn't get into. You know, things involving sensuality, pornography, those things, they're all there. Drugs, alcohol, abuse of chemicals, all these kind of things that are out there. You name it, man's approval. We have these weaknesses that can really make us sometimes put aside the things of God and go running into things that we shouldn't. Amen? And those things are still there tempting us, and the Spirit intercedes and He helps us in all those things. But there's one kind of very key important thing that's addressed here in these verses. That is having to do with our prayer life. The Spirit helps us in our prayer life. Because it says here that we don't know what to pray for as we ought. The Spirit helps us with that. And let me go back just a little bit, because I just missed something I realized, is the likewise. What is the likewise for? Well, the likewise, I think, is connected to hope. So we live in this state where we have this weakness, we have the Spirit, but we have the hope to look ahead to the fact that Jesus is going to come back and He's going to finish His work. Amen? Jesus is guaranteeing us that He's going to finish what He started in us. And so we have the hope to look forward to that, even though we're in this state. And He says, in the same way that hope helps you, in that same way, because that was talked about right before this, and it is the same weakness that's talked about, in the same way that we're helped by hope, we're helped by the Spirit in us. And in particular, the Spirit is going to help us know how to pray and what to pray and what to pray for. Amen? So the particular weakness is our prayer life. Now it says in the ESV here, it says, we don't know what to pray for. In other translations, sometimes this is translated what to pray. Not just what to pray for, but what to pray. Maybe that might be the better way to translate it. But the fact is, when I think about it, we either don't pray when we should pray, or we're not praying for what we should be praying for. Amen. Amen? We don't have the prayer life that we ought to have. We should have a better prayer life than we have. And I take that out of this. He says, for we do not pray for as we ought. So if you came here and you thought, well, my prayer life is okay, I'm going to suggest to you that the Word of God says it's probably not. And if it is, then it's the Holy Spirit. Because ourselves, we don't know. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray. We don't know when to pray it. We should have a certain dissatisfaction, I think, with our prayer life. One that's causing us to look to God to work within us to really teach us how to pray. And not only that, but to have the Holy Spirit pray through us. Amen? Like it says here. For we do not know what to pray or what to pray for as we ought. Now, again, we either don't pray or we pray for the wrong things. This makes me think of James chapter 4, verse 3. He says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Sometimes we pray, but we pray with the wrong motives. We pray for ourselves, or we go to God with the solution. Amen? We say, this is what you need to do, God. This is what I want you to do. I want to pray for this situation. I want you to answer it this way. And we do that, and we are asking wrongly when we do that. And so sometimes that's why God doesn't answer our prayers, or He answers them differently than we would ask. Now, it does say that, it does use a really significant word, is ought. Ought. You like that word? This is what you ought to do. Let me tell you guys what you ought to do. You ought to floss every night. Do you believe me? You ought to do that. I'm telling you, you ought to do that. You ought to brush your teeth. You ought to exercise a little bit. You ought to not eat so many carbs. You know? There's a lot of oughts that we ought to do. Things we ought to do. And in general, yeah, those things are good. We should do them, right? Sometimes we struggle, though, to do the things that we ought to do. One of the things that you ought to do is pray. You ought to pray. And this is not another one of those sermons that's like guilting you with a lot of things that you ought to do. That's not where I'm coming from at all. But where I am coming from is the fact there are things that we ought to do that are really good for us, and we really ought to do them. Amen? And we really ought to be growing and getting more mature in Christ. But sometimes we're not. We're just little baby Christians because we're not doing the things that we ought to do. The stuff that ought to be happening in our lives, the growth we should be experiencing, it's not happening. But it ought to be. So the things that ought to be, when they're pure things like this, those are good things. It's not some heavy weight that somebody's putting on you, you know. I think one of the things I learned as a Christian here, and it took me a long time to learn this, is that guilt was not a good motivation for me. I was constantly guilting myself, and I was thinking, man, I didn't read my Bible today. I'm so bad, I should have read my Bible. And I just have this guilt that I wasn't doing enough, I wasn't doing it right, and I just try to motivate myself by feeling guilty. Now, I think some of that comes from just the world that we grow up in. Sometimes we get motivated by guilt. It's something that people do. I even think it's not always guilt. Sometimes it's teasing or pointing out a fault. You know, we have that. A lot of times in sports, when I was playing sports, that's how things would be pointed out. They would try to motivate you by shaming you. But I really believe now that shame and guilt and those kind of things are not good motivation for us. And so when I think about the things that I ought to do, like I ought to pray, I ought to be in the Word, I don't think of it like a guilt thing. I try to think of it in a positive thing. Like these things I ought to do are positives, and when I do them, I love to do them. I love to spend time with God. Now, we were talking about this in Bible study, sometimes men's Bible study. Some of us like struggle that it's not always easy for us to settle down and sit down and do that quiet time. We more likely tend to run off and do other things, you know, take care of other problems, solve other problems, go straight to work on things kind of frantically. And when God sits us down and we spend time with God, we never regret it. Because but it takes Him getting us to sit down and to stop running around and trying to do everything ourselves. And then when we go do that thing that we ought to do, we're blessed by it. And we don't think like, man, I'm really sorry that I did my quiet time today. Really sorry I read the Bible today and I took that time, took a half hour to spend with God. Like, we don't think that way, but sometimes it's getting us to that point because we're so busy doing the things that we want to do and taking care of things that we take care of on our own. So there's these things that we ought to do. And we ought to pray. We ought to pray. Now, my question for you is your prayer life as it ought to be? Again, not a heavy burden, but just a reality check. Is your prayer life as it ought to be? And I can put some other ones with that. Is your time in the Word as it ought to be? How about this? Is your zeal for evangelism as it ought to be? Is your zeal to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others as it ought to be? Sometimes you could be really discouraged from trying to do that, and people say, no. And you're discouraged by that. Maybe you have to admit that you're discouraged or you're wounded. And you have people that you would want to see come to the Lord, but you feel so shut down by it. Now, again, this is not one of those guilt sermons, okay? I want you to hear this. This is a quote that I really like from John Piper. He's talking about transformation, and that's the real change in you that God makes possible. And I think the Holy Spirit makes possible, and I think is what's being talked about here. Just massive change. How many of you would want God to change you in a massive way, to make you more like Jesus, and to just work in an incredible way in your life, to transform you from what you were to be more like Jesus? How many of you want that? How many of you hunger and thirst for that? Now, if you're here today and say, that doesn't sound like a good thing, hey, you're being honest with yourself. But the truth is, if we come to know Christ and we believe in what He says and we understand what He says He's doing in us, we should realize that's what He's promising to do, and we should look forward to it. We should want to be more like Jesus. We should want to grow and change and mature and be transformed, to be changed from what we were to be Christ-like. But the quote says, transformation is when what you ought to do becomes what you love to do. Transformation is when what you ought to do becomes what you love to do. So you ought to read your Bible. You love to read your Bible. It's not a burden. It's not a weight. You love to do it. You ought to pray. You love to pray. You ought to tell people about Jesus. You love to talk about Jesus. I think a lot of you know me. There's some things that just come real natural for me to talk about. Love to talk about food. I eat something that I like. I like to tell you about it. So there are certain foods that I can mention here that would distract most of you for the rest of this sermon. So I won't do that today. I was talking to you about Seahawks. I actually love football. A lot of my illustrations come from football. I talk a lot about football. I grew up playing football. For me, it's like, I guess I'm just one of those kids that grew up. It helped make a lot of sense in life to me. And it built a lot of discipline in me and taught me to live life in a certain way. And I think I took a lot out of playing football, even though there's a lot of drawbacks to playing football. But I think I took a lot out of playing football, and I got a lot of discipline from it. And I see a lot of stories and pictures in life that come from it. So I go to that. And I love my family too. And I think the thing that moves me the most is when I think about my family. Talk about my family. So when you love something, you talk about it. You want to talk about it. And so that's why I think it's so great when we can get to that point. We love talking about Jesus. I sure would rather be talking about Jesus than the weather. Amen? You know, let's talk about Jesus, all right? So I think what this sermon and what's being said here is it's one of those things where this is what the Spirit does. He takes what we ought to do that we can't do on our own, and He makes it possible for us to do it. And then I really believe He makes us love. He changes us so that we love to do it. We love to pray. We love to talk to God. But we don't really know how to do that on our own. It doesn't come natural to us. We need the Spirit. And it says here, again, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We can't do it. We need an intercessor. In this case, it's the Holy Spirit. He intercedes. He goes and He takes what we can't do. Now, the Spirit Himself intercedes. How does He do that? How does the Spirit do that? First thing is, we know this and we've seen this. It's been talked about already here in Romans 8. He indwells us. He indwells the believer. He lives within us. God's Holy Spirit lives within us. And He intercedes from within. So what the Holy Spirit, the way the Holy Spirit intercedes is from within us. Christ intercedes and has interceded in different ways. Christ interceded for us at the cross. Christ interceded for us coming out of the grave. Christ is interceding for us right now at the right hand of the Father. Okay? In verse 34, just a little bit later, it says that. It says, who is to condemn us? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes from within. Christ is interceding for us in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Amen? Are you glad you came to church today?
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. It's stuff, isn't it? To think about how God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are interceding for us. And just make sure you understand what interceding is when someone acts on your behalf, steps in on your behalf to do something that you probably can't do yourself. And I think we think about this a lot as intercessory prayer. You go and you pray for somebody and you ask God to intercede in the situation. And Christ is doing that for us. And I think it's more than just the prayer, intercessory prayer, but it's in real acting. Steps in and acts. And in this case, we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray. The Holy Spirit who's living in us as believers, if you're a believer, if you're in Christ, if you've been born again, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. He knows you don't know how to pray. He's doing it. He's teaching you to pray. He's showing you how to pray. He's actually praying through you. Okay? So the Spirit intercedes for us. Christ is interceding in heaven. The Spirit's interceding from within us. He says, with groaning too deep for words. Groaning too deep for words. And that's translated a little bit differently in some different Bible translations. But it's either that it's inexpressible, like these groans you cannot even express, or it's translated that they are not expressed, not with words. It's like it either can't be put into words or it's not put into words. but it's just groaning. And there's, you know, different reasons why people translate that in different ways. It seemed to me like more weight is actually probably on the fact that it's not that it's not expressible, or it's that it's inexpressible, but it's just not expressed with words. It's something that's not expressed with words. Now, that groaning should also be connected to what we saw in verse 22 and 23 just recently. Who else is groaning? Do you remember? Who or what else, I should say? What else? The creation. The whole creation is groaning. And those who have the first fruits of the Spirit, those who are believers, they are groaning. What are they groaning for? What's the creation groaning for? And what are the believers groaning for? Christ to come back and to finish His work and to finish what He started. And so this is a third time groaning is mentioned. And this groaning here, I guess the question is, who is groaning here? Who is groaning here? It says, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So it most naturally is the Holy Spirit is groaning. Now, but the question is, some actually say that it's believer, some say it's the Holy Spirit. I think it looks to me like it's the Holy Spirit through the believer, but let me explain what I mean by that, all right? The Spirit is not groaning apart from the believer, and the believer is not groaning apart from the Spirit. It's working together. The Spirit is working in the believer. And the groans have meaning. They have meaning. Even though they're not expressed in words, they have meaning. There's a meaning there and a meaning exchanged. And perhaps it's too deep for words, or it's deeper than a few words can describe. You've heard that saying, like, a picture is worth 1,000 words. It's like these groans are worth much more than 1,000 words. To express a prayer or thought to God. Now, some think that this is the gift of tongues. But I don't think so, and I'll tell you why I don't think so. These groans are not words. When the Bible talks about tongues, the Bible talks about words. Okay, the Bible talks about tongues being a language that's understandable. This is not a language. These are not words. And then finally, this is talking about something that exists in all believers. The Bible teaches that the gift of tongues, everyone doesn't have the gift of tongues. That's not for everyone. This is for everyone. This is something every single one of us, God would teach to pray. And God would pray through us. His Spirit would pray through us in this way. And so these groans of not knowing how to pray, not knowing what to pray, but the Spirit praying through you, that's a promise for everyone. Amen? So let me ask you a question. Is that a promise for you?
Yes.
Does this passage say that you know how to pray?
No.
No, it says you don't know how to pray. Does this passage say that if you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit is living in you, basically praying through you, talking to God through you, through these groans that are not expressed in words? Doesn't it say that? That's the life of a believer. And it's really cool to think about it as you think about what's going on. So this is something for all believers. Now we'll go to verse 27 here. That means we're halfway done here. It says, "And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Now, he who searches the heart, or the hearts, is not named in this verse. It doesn't say who it is. But we know that this is talking about God. God tests the minds and He tests the hearts. And we see several places in the Bible that tell us this. One is Psalm chapter 7, verse 9. It says, "Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, and may you establish the righteous, you who test the minds and the hearts, O righteous God." Who tests the minds and the hearts? God. Proverbs 17:3, "The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests the hearts." 1 Thessalonians 2:4, "But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." God is testing our hearts and our minds. And he gives us the gospel. And you know what? It's not a matter of us being approved by men, by people around us, but are we approved by God? Do what we do, is it what God wants for us to do? What we love, is it what God wants us to love? And God tests our hearts and our minds, our motives, all these things. Revelation 2, 21 through 23, and this is speaking about this woman called Jezebel, and probably somebody that led many people astray into sexuality and mixing things with their worship of God that shouldn't have been there. And I think it also could really be something that we see, a kind of a spirit within the church that you can see, that is a lot of falseness that's brought into the church to lead people astray and to tempt people and to do things they shouldn't. But he says, I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. Who would you say this is talking about? And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. It's talking about the Lord, isn't it? Amen. He's the one who searches the hearts and the minds. So he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And I think maybe a way to think about this especially would be to think about God the Father. God the Father. He knows the mind of God the Spirit. Right? We have in God three distinct persons, but one God. We believe in one God, three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father knows the mind of the Spirit. Spirit knows the mind of the Father. The Father knows the mind of the Son. Remember, and the Son knows the mind of the Spirit. Remember when Jesus talked about it, and we were going through John, he's like, I always do what my Father wants me to do. We're perfectly one. Amen? And it's like that between the Father and the Spirit and the Son and the Spirit. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. God knows the mind of the Spirit. It's his Spirit. But think about it like that in a triune way. God the Father and God the Son both know the mind of the Holy Spirit. And this is important because remember we had just said the Holy Spirit is in you groaning these groans of prayer that are not even put into words. They're there. This prayer is being offered up because you and I don't know how to pray. And it's there and the Holy Spirit is praying. Who is he praying to? The Father. You could say he's praying to the Father through the Son. But he's praying in this way. And do you think that the signal's being received? Amen. That's exciting to think about, right? You pray, sometimes you're like, I don't know if God hears my prayers. What's going on? I tell you what, in this prayer, God is getting it. And he always does. There's no doubt. But what I'm saying is God knows, and this is the point, the Father knows the mind of the Spirit. And these prayers are coming through. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So it's like this. It's like we can't pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray. We struggle in our prayer life. The Spirit lives in us. The Spirit is praying through us in this way. And he's completely united with the Father and what he's praying for and what he wants for us and what he wants for those around us. And I think as part of that, this is what God does in us. And this is how he makes us more like Jesus. This is how he sanctifies us and makes us more holy. He's giving us the very mind of God and the very will of God by the Spirit living within us. Teaching us this. Showing us. Doing this in us. You remember when you taught your kids how to ride a bike? You didn't just put them on the bike and just push them down the road. You like ran beside them. You rode the bike for them. You remember that? And you probably got a sore back because little bikes, you're like running like this, you know. But you were actively a part of that. I think of so many ways, you know, that's just not a perfect picture, but in some ways we can see that, we can think about it. But That's what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. You know, we can't do it. We're weak. We have so much growth that we still need, but He's there and He's doing it. And God is God in the God the Father and God the Spirit perfectly united. Just what He's praying, just what we need, is just the will of God. And when you think about prayer, one of the big problems we have, and it goes back to that verse we looked at earlier, when you think about prayer, what we need to do is we need to pray God's will. Not our will, but God's will. God's will. We want to be praying God's will. And so that's what the Spirit is doing. He's praying God's will. Not our selfish will, not our bad motives, but He's praying the Lord's will. Now, that's something about this. When you think about this, the Holy Spirit has to be present here for this, right? This is not something that any man could do without the Holy Spirit. We need that, but this is true of everyone who's regenerate, everyone who's born again, everyone who has the Spirit. And God knows what the Spirit is thinking, just like God the Father, just like He knows what the Son is thinking, the Son knows what the Father is thinking. The Father knows the thoughts of the Spirit, but likewise, the Spirit knows the thoughts of the Father, right? Spirit knows the thoughts of the Father. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." Amen? So when you think about it, that's how it works. Like when you have God's Spirit living in you, the reason why the Spirit can pray the will of God is because the Spirit knows the will of God, knows the thoughts of God, and the Spirit can pray in that way. Now it says, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints. The saints are, here's the definition, those who are set apart by God or for God are holy or sacred. Do I have any saints in the house today? I'm a saint. It is not because I'm holier than thou or something like that, or because I'm such a good person or I've achieved some status. Anyone here who is in Christ has been set apart for Christ. You belong to Him. You're a saint. That's what it means. You're not on a higher level or something like that. All believers are saints. And the Spirit intercedes for the saints. And He always prays through the saints according to God's will. So again, let me ask you, who is the Holy Spirit? You can answer it a lot of different words, but I would say He's the third person of the Trinity. He's the third person of the Godhead. He's God, the Holy Spirit, sometimes called the Spirit of the Father, sometimes called the Spirit of Christ. He's the Spirit of God. Now, how is the intercession of the Holy Spirit different than the intercession of Christ? Throwing this out to you. We talked about this. How is the intercession of the Holy Spirit different than the intercession of Christ? He's interceding from within us. He indwells us. So much of our Christian experience today we have really with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's all based on Him. We think a lot of, when we think about Jesus, it's what He did for us while He was here as a man, but we know He went to heaven to prepare a place for us, and He's there and He's preparing. He's still interceding on our behalf, and He's fully God. But right now we have the Holy Spirit living within us, interceding in that way from within. Now, I think this would be a good time just to recap. And we'll recap and we'll close out what we saw here about the Holy Spirit in chapter 8 of Romans. So I have this, how does the Holy Spirit intercede? There are 9 ways that I think we saw here. Now, you could come up with a slightly different number depending on how you group things together. But these are good reminders that we've seen so far in Romans 8, verses 1 through 27. So think back. The Holy Spirit, He gives us peace, life, and a whole new way to live. And I wanted to fit this on one line, but I also wanted to say a whole new way to serve God and a whole new way to approach God. Remember earlier on in chapter 7, I believe it was, He said, not by the written code, but by the Spirit. It's a new way of the Spirit. He gives us a whole new way. But in that new way, we really have peace with God and we have life. And that is all made possible by the Spirit. Second thing was And this is how he does this. He does this by indwelling everyone who belongs to Christ. Everyone who belongs to Christ, everyone who is born again and regenerate, the Holy Spirit indwells, lives within, is at work against our flesh and our passions and our desires that would be ungodly. He's indwelling us. He lives within us. Third is, he makes pleasing God possible. If you live in the flesh, you cannot please God. That's what Romans 8 here said. You cannot please God if you live in the flesh. If you live for the passions and desires of your flesh, you will not please God. You must live by the Spirit. He makes that possible. Number four, he puts to death the things of the flesh. He has come to take over and to change us and to eliminate things of the flesh that are battling for our devotion. The Holy Spirit has come and indwells us to make war against those things and to put them to death. I mean, is there something in your life that needs to get put to death that's fleshly and is not what God wants of you? The Holy Spirit is there working to put that to death. Number five, this is such a sweet one. Remember, he's the Spirit of adoption. He makes us children of God, co-heirs with Christ. You got to be adopted. We're all orphans. Did you know that? We're all orphans that need to be adopted. We need to be adopted by God, and that's possible through Christ, and the Holy Spirit makes it possible. He's the Spirit of adoption. And we become not only children, we're not like stepchildren or something like that. We're full-fledged children. We're heirs. Amen? We don't just get the leftovers or something like that. We get the good stuff. Amen? We're heirs. We're called co-heirs with Christ here. Listen, I'll be honest with you. Is it okay that I'm honest?
It's preferred.
Preferred? That's all like that. I really can't comprehend what that means to be co-heir with Christ. And you could give me all the theology that you wanted to explain it to me. I still think it's one of those things that I don't get. I won't get. It blows my mind. Could you even imagine? And if some of you want to come and explain it to me, then be my guest. Maybe I'll convince you that it's a much bigger deal than you think it is. All right, number six. He leads every child of God. He's leading us. The Holy Spirit indwells us and he leads us. And I tell you what, I want him as my leader. Do you want him as your leader? To lead you through life and to lead the way? He's leading us. But what if you don't have the Spirit? Remember it said you don't belong to Christ if you don't have the Spirit. Everyone who belongs to Christ has the Spirit, and the Spirit is leading everyone who belongs to Christ. Number seven, and I love this one so much. Love this one so much, what the Holy Spirit does. It says, he bears witness with our spirit that we are children and heirs of God. His Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Isn't that incredible? That the Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing within us. I almost picture it like he's got to tell me spiritually that I'm his child. He has to convince my spirit, and then my spirit can bear witness to me that I belong to God. Amen? So that's what the Holy Spirit does. Number eight, he helps us with our weaknesses. All the weaknesses, right? Any weakness that we have between justification and glorification, the Holy Spirit is helping us. And then finally, just called out as what we looked at today, he leads us to pray according to the mind and will of God. The Holy Spirit leads us to pray according to the mind and will of God. And I think that's a rich recap of what the Holy Spirit does. There's more to be said about what the Holy Spirit does. But I think that's about all you can handle today. Amen? And I take this from, these are the things we see in Romans 8. I'm not trying to teach everything about the Holy Spirit, but these are the things we see in Romans 8. But I tell you what, we can see the goodness of God in that. Amen? So just to close out here, I hope that when you're hearing this, that you'll think, okay, I struggle in prayer. I don't exactly know how to pray, what to pray, what to pray for, how to do it. But I realize the Holy Spirit is living within me. I want to try to think about how this might be working, that the Holy Spirit is groaning through me. Like, I think I've been thinking about this all week. I think about people that I love that don't know the Lord. And I think about the Holy Spirit, like, that uncomfortableness and that groaning for them. I think about a world around us that's lost and broken and lifting up to the Lord. And I don't know what to say. And sometimes when I pray, my prayers feel kind of shallow. The words are kind of shallow. But I know, like, really, these prayers are continually happening through by the Spirit of God. Lifting them up to the Father, to the world that's broken around us that needs God. I think of situations where there's broken relationships and there needs to be reconciliation and these kind of things where I can't do it. I can't make it happen. But that the Spirit of God is groaning within, and the Spirit of God is talking to the Father. And it's fully understood. But I want to go to prayer so that that's happening, though. So if that even means me just kind of sitting down and not knowing what to say to God, and only saying a few things that I know, even though I might just say a few words, just a few words to God, that these groanings are going on within me. And I definitely want to be paying attention to these groanings. And I want to learn to pray God's will. And I want my prayer life to be what it ought to be. Just like I want my passion for the Word and the evangelism to be what they ought to be. But I know that I'm never going to get there out of gilding myself. I'm only going to get there out of surrender to the Holy Spirit that God gives to help me in my weakness. I hope today that you will leave admitting that you're weak and that you need God. You need Jesus. You need His Spirit to do this in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray to a God who's so good to us. Lord, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your Word. Just these two verses that are so rich, we are so thankful for them. And we're also thankful for the reminder through Romans 8, just what Your Holy Spirit does in us, Lord. We thank You for that. We pray, Lord God, that You would help us to know how to pray. It's just a great prayer for today, that You would help us to know how to talk to You, to be in a closer relationship with You, to have true fellowship with You. We thank You for that. We love You and we praise You and we worship You. We adore You. And now, Lord, we're thankful that we can stand and we can sing once more. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to invite all of you who can to stand and worship God together. Put aside whatever else it is you're thinking about and worship God. Worship the Lord. Let's do that together.